In the late 1970s, I was on a job in Panama, and I had my wife and my two teenage sons fly down to be with me so they could see the turnover of the Bridge of the Americas in Panama. Normally it had an American flag on one end and a Panamanian flag on the other. President Carter had set this deal up during his administration. And so what was going to happen, we were turning the canal and everything over to Panama. And so the American flag was struck, came down, and the Panamanian flag flew on both ends of the bridge because it crossed the Panama Canal. There are two tribes of Indians living in that part of Panama. One are the Choco, or the Cuna Indians. They live in the San Blas Islands. And their women all wear a gold ring in their nose. It's about that big around. The size of the ring indicates their wealth. And there was a lady by the name of Marvel Iglesias who went to Bob Jones back in the 50s. And she made friends with Lonnie Iglesias, who was the chief of the Cuna tribe. And he was a Christian. He went to Bob Jones University to study and then went back to the island to evangelize the people. And Marvel married him. They fell in love. They were married. And she went back to them as a missionary with her husband, Lonnie. Now there's another tribe of Indians that live in that part of the world. They live deeper in the Darien jungle. The jungle is not the San Blas Islands, but the Darien jungle extends from Panama down into Colombia. It's a full-fledged jungle. And my wife and I took our two boys and we had a picnic lunch in the Darien jungle. And later, as we were moving about the country, we ran into some of the Choco Indians who live in the Darien jungle. They're a pretty primitive tribe. They get around in dugouts. Some of them wear loincloths, some of them don't. And like I said, they're a primitive tribe. But there is one thing that happens. There are missionaries who go down to them. At one time, they were headhunters. They're not that anymore, at least not in the Panama area. But one thing that I had been told about and one thing that I had heard and read about was that if one of them got saved, the first thing they did was they wanted to put on clothes. Now, we visited them. We lived among them, well, not just briefly, not just for a day. We ate anaconda, we ate monkey. They eat what they can catch. But still, the one thing about it was the fact that when they got saved, it didn't bother them that we were wearing clothes. But when they get saved, they want to put on clothes. Now, I want us to go back in time a few years. Well, let's say about 6,000 years to be exact, almost 6,000 years. I want to read a short passage of scripture to you from Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They didn't sew fig leaves together for modesty's sake. It was for another purpose. Because look at verse 25 of Genesis 2. You're at 3, turn back one chapter to verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. I believe that it was motivated by pride. They're sewing fig leaves together. Our pride gets most of us into trouble, and many don't realize that pride is separating us from God. Also, it's separating us from God's purpose for each one of us. Pride never takes us closer to God. It always takes us further away. Pride only takes us closer to sin. Say that again. Pride only takes us closer to sin. Now, in these first 7 verses of Genesis 3, we see a lot of deception and deceit. The first thing that we see is that the serpent was more subtle than any other animal that God had made. That means that the serpent was sneaky. We've just been to the Creation Museum. We saw the serpent there. Some of you saw the serpent there, deceiving Adam and Eve. Not only was he sneaky, but he was a liar too. He also knew that the woman was prideful and that she would exercise that pride. So it was going to bug her that she didn't have the knowledge that he was telling her she could have, and that knowledge of good and evil was what got her really into trouble. She didn't know what she could do with it, but she wanted it. Now we get to what she did. She added to God's word, or to his command. She added a phrase, just a little phrase. Neither shall ye touch it. God never said that she couldn't touch it, but she said that. Now God knew what would happen if they did touch it, just like you and I. Sometimes if we touch something, then we get into sin involved with that thing that we have touched. I think that God knew what would happen if they touched it, but he had never said that to them. So Eve brought dishonesty to the situation in addition to what the devil brought. We all know the story about her giving to Adam to eat also. Now let's stop for just a minute and think about what happened. In all of the earth, there were only 2 people at that time. Just 2. We know they were not ashamed of each other to be naked. When God made Adam and Eve, he placed within their bodies a desire for each other. They were attracted to one another. They were created to fit together as one. And it wasn't love for each other, it was hormones. Each was different from the other. God made them that way. He made all of the animals that way. And with hormones in operation, they were attracted to the opposite gender of each kind of animal. Now is where the thinking comes in. There was Adam. There was Eve. No one else in the entire world, just the two of them. Who were they trying to cover up for? Whom were they trying to cover up for? There was no one else in the whole world, just the two of them. Yet they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons for themselves. Why did they do that? It was not for themselves. They had several children. After that, the hormones were working, and it wasn't for God. He had made them. There was a very sad reason for their covering up. It was because they had lost their humility. They had lost their humility. During the Second World War, when Hitler would capture a group of Jews, he would strip them all naked and make them march to either the point of prison or the point of where they were put to death, just to humiliate them. It destroyed their pride. You see, each of us have a measure of pride. And it causes us to do things that God might not like, or things which are sinful. If we do what is sinful, we need to make it right with God. And the only way to do that is for us to repent and confess our sins to God. In order to make it right with God, we have to repent, and that involves turning away from the sin. That's what we're told in 1 John 1:9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Folks, we all have sin in our lives. Every one of us. Confession must involve contrition on our part. It involves being sorry for the sinful thing that we have done. It comes from God to enhance our individual relationship to God. 2 Corinthians 7:10 tells us, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death." There are so many things that we should confess to God in the way of sins that we have committed. Many people think that these are just little things, things that God might overlook, that we don't have to confess them, we don't have to be careful about the sin that goes on in our life because of our pride. We don't ask God to help us. We don't ask God to take care of it or forgive us. Many people think that these little things don't matter. But folks, they do. They add up. They matter. Little things matter to God. Always. It's always mattered to God. And then sometimes people overlook these things and they can't figure out why they seem to have difficulty communicating with God, and that the relationship between God and them, it doesn't seem to be the same. The reason that things don't work out is that when a person has sin in their heart, God can't hear their prayers. I've shared this verse with you many times, Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity, sin, in my heart, God will not hear me. And many times, you and I go to God, and we have sin in our heart. Oh, not intentional sin, but it's there. Right now, I could name names of several people who are having trouble with God, and they're not going to get over the trouble because they've sinned against God. And they're not going to get over the trouble because they're not confessing that sin to God either. I'm not talking about anybody in this church, by the way. Now, if you're feeling conviction right now, that's between you and the God. Okay, I'm not talking about any of you. So don't ask me who it is, okay? But I do know folks who are living with sin in their lives, and they're wondering why they can't get things straight with God. You should know your status with God. These people don't see sin as sin because they don't know or believe what the Bible says. Simple verses that most of us are familiar with are ignored or not practiced by these people. Let me give you an example. 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Let's stop for a moment and look a little more closely at verse 16. This passage, all three sins are sins that you and I commit all the time. It was what the sins that Eve committed in the garden. The devil tempted Eve with her personal appetite for knowledge. That's lust of the flesh. And the devil tempted Eve with the fruit was pleasant to behold, pride of the eyes, or lust of the eyes. And Eve was not content with the way God had created her. She wanted more, pride of life. All three sins were involved in what Eve did in the garden. Eve succumbed to the temptation. The devil gave it to her, she succumbed. And there are times when each of us do the same thing. Many times we don't think about dealing with God about what is taking place in our lives. We sometimes go on our way and go about our business and wonder why things don't go quite right for us. When we get saved, by believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin, by believing upon the Roman cross, we believe that God raised him from the dead in the power of the Holy Spirit, then several things change in our lives. Excuse me, this is one of the problems I'm having with this bug. One of the things that happens is that we now possess humility, which is given us by the Spirit. The humility which we now possess gives the devil, or one of his minions, a target to cause us to be enslaved by sin. Things that were not sin to us before, while we were in the world, become sin because we have a different relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ. We are now representing Jesus Christ, and God is going to transform us into his likeness if we will let him. Where we were living in the world before we were saved, now we are different. We are a new man. We just read a couple of verses in 1 John 2. Let's look at 1 John 2, verse 15. 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that were in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty simple, folks. What are we being told by God? Is that some of the things that were not wrong for us, not wrong for us to be involved in before we were saved, are now wrong for us to do. And folks, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have to hear his voice direct us away from these things. The world is the world. And each of us are going to have to deal with God about what he wants from each one of us. I'm not the one to tell you what is right and wrong for you. I have enough problem with my own life. Yes, I'm in this world just like you are. We all are. And as being in this world, there are things about the world that are not godly. Oh, they may seem innocent enough. But when the world sees us doing those things, they want nothing to do with God because we are doing the things that we're telling them they shouldn't do. God is the one who must tell you what is right and wrong for you by conviction. By conviction in your heart, in your soul. And he will. We know things are wrong before we do them sometimes. Simple little things. Oh, you don't really need that to eat. Oh, but I like donuts. Little things. But it's a sin. And we need to deal with God about it. If you are convicted about anything, it's most likely wrong for you. That's what God does for us. The Holy Spirit in us convicts us that our things are wrong. And we need to stay away from those things. Oh, you can go ahead and do the thing, but you have to deal with God about it. And he tells you that it's wrong for you either by your conscience or by his Spirit convicting you, hoping that you will quit. There are times that God says no, and we say, I don't see anything wrong with it. And we do it. Well, God said no, so that's what's wrong with it. Eve, though God said no, when she went ahead and did what God wanted, did not want her to do, Eve sinned. She sinned against her heavenly Father. We do the same when we go ahead and God says no. Think about the consequences. You are regarding iniquity in your heart, and God does not hear your prayer life. Folks, that's very serious. Prayer can change things. Prayer can accomplish a lot. And we can pray some of the most beautiful prayers there ever are, but they mean nothing because God does not hear them. So we need to make sure that we are not involved in unconfessed sin. There are times when I will stop and I will ask God, God, why can't I communicate with you right now like I used to? And then I be quiet and I sit there and I think. And God puts things in my heart that I have done, some of them way in the past, that I needed to confess. And then I confess those things, and then God is back there again where I can talk to him. We each need to do that. Do you spend time talking with God, or do you spend time talking to God? God is actually our best friend. And friends communicate back and forth. And he wants to communicate with you. He wants to tell you things. Sometimes they're good things. Oh, you did this? That was good. I'm going to bless you for that. Or, oh, you didn't do that. You need to do it. There's one more aspect to this thing of getting saved and being a new person. There's an element of modesty introduced into our souls when Jesus comes in, and modesty is an important part of our Christian testimony. Now, these Choco Indians in the Darien jungle in Panama and Colombia, they haven't had Bible education. Yet when they get saved, what causes them to want to put clothes on when they have lived their whole life as they have lived it? It is something about the Holy Spirit in them that changes them. They become new people. And because they are new people, they want things to be different. They want to have a good Christian testimony. People who used to flaunt their bodies change and wear modest apparel that covers their bodies. In the Old Testament, there are several commands about God, what God's people can and can't do to their bodies. It's called the Mosaic Law. We're not under the law. We're not under grace. We're now under grace. And things that are done before a person gets saved sometimes cannot be changed. So they must be ignored. But if changes can be orchestrated and it's possible, then make the changes. There are times in the life of a believer that we need to do an evaluation of where we are and where we are attempting to go. We need to talk to God about it and let him show us where we may be failing to follow the leading of his Spirit. There are times when I get alone with God And he shows me things in my life that I need to do to make it right with him by seeking his forgiveness and then repent of and turn away from whatever it is or was that I was doing. It may be that way with you. I want to love God and not the world. If a person has a love for things of the world, the scriptures tell us we don't have a proper love for God. You are the only one who can change and decide to change your life so that it is totally pleasing to God. Will you spend some time with God today, talking with him, not to him, and letting him talk back to you and show you what he might want for you to do? Maybe something small. Maybe it's something big. But that's up to God. Are you willing to let him have his way? Father, we do love you. You have saved us. You have loved us before we loved you. And you have interceded in our lives to change things and make things different. Father, will you help us to please you? Will you communicate with us? Will you show us what changes we need to make to serve you in a better way, to love you in a better way? Father, to have a better relationship with you. Thank you, God, for being willing to talk with us. Let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. May each one in this room this morning be willing to spend some time today talking with you. May your will be done in each heart as we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we will praise you. We will serve you in whatever way you want, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.